Ooh, with the rain, I just thought about this. So there is the last open portion of spring practice for the media before the spring game next Saturday, because they will be indoors. Ooh, media will get a good look. They can't run and hide.
Yeah.
Brian Christopherson from Husker 24/7 will be present here in about 30 minutes. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. It's not raining at the stadium at this very moment, so maybe they'll be able to pop out there.
Is it out of there? There's nothing more coming, right? So you're good?
I don't know. There's a nice little kind of the sun is a little clouded, but it's very peaceful over Memorial Stadium. It's one of those where someone would take a picture with their phone and act like they're the first one who's ever taken that sort of shot of Memorial Stadium.
Hold on. Let me bring up your Twitter account.
For the gram.
Man, that Devaney, when it's time to play football, man, that weather gets out of there. Hey, quick question here. I think you're extremely talented, athletically in a different life. You were, you know, great. If you were the number one overall pick and, you know, you have your family, you got your former coach, you got former teammates, like in the ranking of who you would hug to celebrate, where does Jake from State Farm rank?
Great question.
This is awesome that you asked that, because I saw he kept getting, I'm getting a little older where I'm not always like in tune with exactly what people are talking about, but I know they're talking about a subject, like I know it's out there, but I don't even go like, why is this? And I saw the Jake and State Farm stuff like popping up here and there last night. So now, thank you for that question, because it makes sense.
So
no, he would be like 8th to 10th.
Whoa. Okay. Let me ask you guys.
So he was second. So yeah. Caitlin Clark hugged her family, and then she went and hugged Jake from State Farm, who shows up at every single sporting event.
He does.
Now.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this, because he's kind of like Drake. If you were doing an endorsement with State Farm and you were racking a lot of money, wouldn't you hug him? Wouldn't you be high on the priority list right there? I think I could. I could prioritize him if I was getting a nice little check from State Farm.
Yeah, I could too, Nick, and perhaps he's just got a great personality and a good golf partner, and you've kind of over the course of like, you know, 8 months just kind of hit it off, where it's like this guy will take that extra 45 seconds to look for your golf ball when you hit right, you know, and if he's that kind of guy, you hug him quicker.
Yeah, Brian, I owed you a lot of hugs when we played golf. I know.
I did not represent myself well. We'll have to play again. I've played with both of you, and I have never played as well as I can, and so I need to right that wrong.
That's what I say.
Yeah, I can play a lot better. Trust me, guys.
I say that every time I'm out.
Hit it.
But to finish the thing on Jake here, so I'm a State Farm customer, but them changing from the guy from the original Jake from State Farm commercial to a professional actor and then remaking the commercial with him to be the face of the company is like the biggest gaslighting in modern history.
I mean, I just give the guy kudos. He made it, you know? Like, think about, like, when you're growing up, you don't set that item as, like, your wish list. Like, this is what I'm going to be when your folks ask you. And there it is. He somehow is making a lot of money off of it. And, same guy who drives her around with the emu, you know, is making probably decent cash.
Yeah.
And, you know, no, he didn't ever say to his mom, like, I think I'd like to be a detective with an emu and just a 30-second shot and make more than you should, but he is.
The Jake's from State Farm thing is relevant today, but now we went with the emu guy, the dude with the aviators and the stash, and he's got his partners, Lemu and Doug. Doug, that's his name, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Yeah, that's where we are right now. I know Bruncy's going to be there for baseball tonight, but you're a big baseball fan. This game tonight between Creighton and Nebraska, as far as where you are looking at this on the spectrum, is we've been kind of going back and forth on this. Bigger game for Creighton or Nebraska, in your opinion?
I don't know Creighton's situation as well as Nebraska's. I think it's as far as midweek games go, you never want to overdo it, but they need to get back on the winning track and just build a little momentum through it. And I felt like last year, those games, I understand the setup, and I think most people do, that you're throwing younger arms or guys who are trying to develop, and you're wanting them to get better through those games. But I felt like last season, which is old news to them over there, but it every time they did have a little something going, it was those midweek games, which would be the stop sign immediately, you know, like mm-hmm. sort of a, even though you know you didn't throw your best guys, you still lost. It kind of hurts, you know, especially if it's an in-state game where, you know, there's a little bit of that extra juice to it and how people talk about it. So I think it's a big deal that they go get one and, you know, get back on the right track after what was probably a frustrating weekend. But I should probably just stop it there. I don't know near as much as Brunt's on this subject. I just listen to him and nod my head. but I know he thinks they've got the goods to be a team that's, you know, has a shot in the postseason. But this is one of those moments where you got a little adversity and you got to respond right now.
Raleigh Worcester, the latest addition to Nebraska's basketball roster, the fifth year from Utah, who played a lot of games for Craig Smith. More important addition from the ball handling ability or his defensive ability?
That's a good question. I think maybe the ball handling. I just like, you know, that you look at his numbers through his time with Craig and he, you know, averaged more than 5 assists each of the last 2 years. I know the previous season got cut short with the injury in January. But if you look at his full season right before that, his assist to turnover ratio was, I think, 2.6-1. And it was like second in the conference, you know, and 30th nationally. So, I think that part, when you think about last year, I liked a lot about, Jamarcus Lawrence and the way he fought to get better, and he would have those games, you know, like at Indiana where he busted out, but it was always sort of you know, lessons being learned along the way, as was sort of expected at that point guard spot in this example. And you know, we'll see what happens with, you know, Aaron Ulis. He's, you know, still over there as far as I know. Those are two veteran hands, you know, and you let those guys sort it out and you see, gives you the best option. You have some depth there. So I thought it was a really nice pickup. I started to hear his name a little bit last week and then knew he was visiting Nebraska. And the more I looked into him, I was like, yeah, he fits exactly a space you would want to occupy. And he's started 101 games. So there's that too.
And just his overall build too, a little thicker. 6'4", over 200 pounds, and I'm with you, his ability to distribute. I know you're going to look at what he can do defensively, but you bring up the point guard situation with Aaron Ulis factored in there as well. Is this the first time that we can look at Nebraska where you have options at the true point guard spot, and for a Fred Hoiberg team where he doesn't feel like maybe that's always the most necessary thing to have, how that might look offensively more than anything with having a true point guard or true point guards having that option there, what that can do to the rest of your guards? This just feels very different right now.
Yeah, it feels like they could be a little bit better established there than they have been in the past. We'll have to see that prove out. But you've got somebody in Worcester who had, you know, I was looking through some of his best games, and I like that too. He had some real highlight statistical performances against top competition. Like, he was one of those guys who, like, against Arizona, you know, a year ago, almost had a triple double. Mm-hmm. He had like 13, 11 and 9 assists, I think. You know, so whenever I see a guy like that who has flashed, you know, that against the best teams, he can go out and put a game together like that, where it's not just one category, but he's checking all these different boxes, that always kind of gets me a little bit more excited about that player. You know, like Bryce Williams last year is a great example. He had that injury, where they didn't know if he's going to play against Purdue and he almost gets a triple double, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that always jumps out to me when guys are capable of doing that and helping their team in so many ways. So I think he does fill a lot of things for him. You know, obviously they got to keep adding. But you know, they've been pretty good at this the last two cycles. And so you do give a little bit of leeway. I do, in thinking they kind of know what fits them better than, you know, pencil neck me, you know, so
wow.
I you know, like wow. pencil neck scribe, you know, it's like a term.
You guys better never call me negative again.
I was dogging on myself, you know, skinny little twerp making his commentary on the other side. I get it, you know, that we get some of that. So I don't believe in sort of the last couple of years what they've sort of done and with guys where when they initially got him, people didn't just jump up and down and wasn't a huge deal like with Rink Mass last year or Bryce Williams, but they knew they fit within their system. And so we'll see if they can kind of do that again with guys who maybe not everyone's going to act like they got it all solved right away, but when you put them all together, it looks like a pretty good picture.
Hey, let's shift to football because when practice begins, you don't get to see get into the heart of practice where they have the three teams and they're going and it's reps. And the one thing that is always said about Matt Rhule in his 2 years of practice, whether it be in the spring or the fall, is there's no downtime. Guys don't stand around. Guys, their feet are always moving. They're always learning. And I think in this situation, when you're still in an infancy of a program, more reps the better. And I love what they've done this spring to give guys that, whether they're the first team or the fourth team guy, they're getting about the same amount of reps. When we flip to fall, when you do that in spring, what do you think is the benefit when you get to the fall and you're not in 15 practices to get ready for a final scrimmage? You're in 20 plus practices to get ready for the start of the season.
Ideally, with a decent number of guys, that all those reps translated toward when you have those, especially those crisis moments, which we saw rise at multiple positions last year with the running back. You remember the press conference where there's like, you know, a couple running backs out. There's one where there's a few O linemen out. Okay, you're going back to the spring and you're saying this guy got as much time. You know, let's take like a Sam Sledge or somebody like that. And I'm just using a name, but someone who maybe is eighth or ninth right now. I don't know, but he got as much time as the guy who's second or third amongst all the O linemen. And he's built up some confidence in some of the questions he had about himself and how this works and that works. And now they're further along that you plug them in and hopefully it takes off a little quicker than it would otherwise. So, you know, that was always a big advantage back in the day, been talked about a lot, but it's true. And it also keeps guys engaged. Like, I think that's a big part of it, just the mental aspect. Like, say you're an early enrollee, who was a talented player, got, you know, everything he sort of wanted and was always being talked about at the previous level. Sometimes it's very hard that first year when you get in and you feel like you're just standing off to the side. I remember there was a spring or a camp here where in the Frost era, it wasn't necessarily the coaching staff's fault, but there's a lot of injuries and all these guys who had just got here were sort of off to the side one day. I was looking at them and there's like 8 to 10 of them against the wall. And I'm thinking to myself, this cannot be good for their psyche. You know, like, you know, you're just not out there. You know, it feels so distant when you're not like getting those reps. Like, when is this ever going to happen for me? And it may not be as far as it seems at the time, but it's hard when you've always been the dude. So I think that's as big as anything is that mental component. You just keep guys so locked in and like, yeah, keep going. And they've got that 4-game redshirt, you know, clause to work with, which I think is beneficial too to helping keep those guys going.
And kind of along the same lines, when you think about guys that are always going to be prepared when they come in, I know this was brought up to Matt Rhule's media availability last week. He was asked the question about, I think they brought up the example of John Bullock, and for a guy that was a walk-on then elevated to a scholarship and a major impact on that defense, it was hard for him to pinpoint maybe the next one. But if you're looking for that ideal jump, and it could be on either side of the ball, where we saw some stuff, some positive stuff, but it seems like maybe the table is set now for one of those players to step up. Does anybody or buddies come to mind to you, Brian?
I think one or two of those DBs are going. I don't know who to answer, though. Like, there's like a collection of like 5 or 6 defensive backs, and obviously Bly Hill's new here, so he wasn't part of that last year, but he's getting a lot of reps now. But you know, you've got your like your Ethan Nations and your Dwight Boodles and some of those guys, and I'm not saying it's going to happen right away, but I do think there could be a point where we see a couple of those DBs who are kind of, right now we don't know how to separate them. The coaching staff might have a better idea. but it's going to matter toward the question you're talking about. There's other people maybe a little more established who aren't a great, like, specific apples to apples comparison with John Bullock, but like Mekhi Bayer played a decent amount last year, but now there's that, like, okay, what's that next thing look like? Where can he take that now? This is not, also not a great example of the question, but it got me thinking about him. As I said, Bayer is Javon Wright. I don't think it gets talked about.
That's the first name I thought of.
I mean, Javon Wright is that guy who, when I think of like playmakers or guys who can really take a defense potentially from being good to great, I think of guys at least with his traits and his skill set. And I think I've said it before. I believe he was the one who almost got Shedeur Sanders on that one pass rush. He was like 4 inches from it and ends up being a 40-yard completion in the third quarter. Those kind of guys, like if they get the, you know, they talk about getting the extra 3 to 4 points, it's, you know, it's getting the inches, and the, as Al Pacino would say in the old speech. And some of those players who were maybe close to that last year, like a Javon Wright, this is where you see that difference in this next season.
Hey, we'll get chatter on this because I think this will be a day to check out the linebackers like a Thompson. Or why do you think that Vincent Shavers is going to play in the fall?
Because Shavers, when whatever happened with Miami, you know, if it kind of fell off from Miami's end, I think maybe it did. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I think him and his father, in talking to him at that point, I remember when they took this visit here, and they were immediately able to reset, and I think both of them agreed with each other, this is the best thing that ever happened to you. You're going to make this the best thing that ever happened to you. There was like this determination even back in December when you did the interview with those guys. I talked to them both at the same time, and I was really taken by it. And, you know, we do a lot of recruit interviews, but I just thought, man, they got a little edge to them. Like, they feel like this was a blessing in disguise. And sometimes when you get a guy with that mindset, he's just like, let's go rock it. You know, like, I feel like I caught a break, actually, that I wasn't expecting, that I fit here. And then he got here and he immediately dove into like what they were talking about with strength and conditioning and the nutrition program. And he gained like 15 good pounds, 10 to 15. And he was just a really good player at that level amongst the, you know, most talented guys. Some of the most talented recruits in the country, at least as speed goes. So he doesn't lack speed at all. He's kind of put on the bulk, and he's got a good mindset, and he loves football, like, inside and out. I know that from talking to him. So I'm actually not that surprised, maybe, that he's this far, but I thought he would make a little noise. He's probably making more than I even suspected, though.
Yeah, he'll be one to watch, especially next week in the spring game. BC, thanks for your time. Enjoy practice today. We'll look forward to your observations, as always.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
That's Brian Christopherson. I think it's a huge thing that's happened here during spring. So Vincent Shaver is going to play. The White Boodle was in line to play last year before he got injured. Now, wasn't going to be a starter, but was going to get on the field. So you have Barney. It is a huge spring that Nebraska has Florida guys, because throw in Larry Tarver and throw in Willis McGahee, guys that come from Florida that are getting a lot of reps in spring. Mm-hmm. And so they see a path to them playing instead of, man, I didn't get very many reps in spring. Yeah. Might be easy to pull the ripcord, because I can tell you, after covering high school football in Miami, when guys go away, there's always people in their ear nonstop. The right people are in their ear telling them this is a great opportunity for you. But everybody is like, you know what? Come back. No one can see you. You're a long way away from home. You're going to get homesick. But the fact that Florida guys, in particular Miami guys, have come to Nebraska in the spring and they're on the field and they're getting some love and they look like they fit, which it's a whole different world down there. When you're playing at Taz Powell on a Friday night with the Miami skyline in the background, it's real deal high school football. Those guys here, that's a big deal. I think that needs to be talked about more, how the Florida guys have fit in and they are on the field and balling out in the spring. Because they'll stick around for the fall, and most of them are contributors or have a potential the next 2 years to be contributors.
That's why I really like that question about the benefit of what you get from reps, especially when there are people. You get to these practices and you can just tell when it's a well-functioning machine because everybody is doing something. I don't care what sports you're in, and I don't care how big your roster is. Obviously, football, that's a lot of people to make sure that everybody is active. Because I would agree with Brian, there's always going to be that feeling of, okay, next man up. You've gone through those reps. I mean, that's the obvious benefit of that. But you bring up a great point about freshmen. When you get them entrenched, especially when they're early enrollees and they're going through spring, yet they're kind of sitting on the side a little bit. Maybe they're somewhat active, but not as much active, as opposed to getting them entrenched into, whether it's the offensive side of the football, the defensive side of the football, that they immediately, before they even really get into the thick of it in the fall, that they feel they're going into the season with a pretty good understanding of what they're trying to do and where they fit in. That's something I would totally agree probably doesn't get discussed enough when you do have a system, especially kids that come from different areas, whether we're talking Miami or different areas, California, coming in and immediately going to work and getting the amount of reps that they feel, damn, okay, I'm part of this right now. And I know, I feel confident in what I know with this system or that.
All right, Andy Kendi a little bit later. He'll actually get to watch practice. I think he's down in Lincoln with the host of KATV people. So he'll come up at about 9:45. We'll run through some emails. We'll talk more about Jake from State Farm, who is paying Caitlin Clark's salary.
He had a nice red suit on. When he makes those appearances, does it have to be the red-white suit? Maybe he wears the home whites every now and then?
I don't know. Where does the guy not appear?
He's everywhere.
I'd like that life.
Drake.
Or Connor McCaffrey, I'd be a little nervous.
But do you think he's morphed into that character? That's his identity?
Yeah.
Yes. It's like how Paul Rubens became Pee Wee Herman, and we all thought he was really Pee Wee Herman.
People just call him Jake, and he just leans into it. Yeah. What's up, man?
I started to hum the Three Musketeers theme last night when they showed him. You had Kim Mulkey, Don Staley, and Jake from State Farm all together.
That's a panel.
That's just right in itself.
That is quite the couple there. Well, not even a couple.
It's Mornings with Charbonnet and Leon, 1620 The Zone.